Hello, my name is Keith Garland, and welcome to the weekly podcast of First Baptist Church of Lexington, Mississippi. We are delighted that you've joined us today. We will be in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 in a few moments. I wanted to tell you this is my first anniversary here at First Baptist, so the podcast opens today with a word from my good friend Bill Rutledge. Let's worship and study God's Word together.
So we are indeed fortunate and blessed. I hope that you will join us after the service today for lunch and stop and say a special word to Keith and Susie. You can wish Susie happy birthday. Her birthday was on Wednesday, August 3rd, and that will give you something to talk about. But Keith, thank you for your love of God, your deep faith, your love of people that makes it so easy to love you and Susie back. Thank you for your contributions, for your optimism about the future of First Baptist Church of Lexington. And we not only love and appreciate you, but we will promise to dedicate ourselves to hold hands and work together to accomplish God's mission in 2017. God bless you.
In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 today, if you'd like to turn there. And I do appreciate again the words that Bill spoke earlier, but I would like to add to that, follow me as I follow Christ, right? Because if I'm not following Christ, I don't want you following me. I think the Apostle Paul said that somewhere, it seems like. So, amen and amen. Good to see everybody here today. It's just a wonderful crowd here this morning, on this Sunday morning. So glad that you're here. I want to talk to you this morning, and last Sunday I talked about heaven. I'm going to talk a little bit more about it today. I'm going to talk about what you and I will be like when we get to heaven. And so I've entitled this sermon, Our New Body in Heaven, Extreme Makeover Edition. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 35. But someone will ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body do they come? You foolish person, what you sow does not come to life unless it dies. And what you sow is not the body that is to be, but a bare kernel, perhaps of wheat or of some other grain. But God gives it a body as he has chosen, and to each kind of seed its own body. For not all flesh is the same. There is one kind for humans, another for animals, another for birds, and another for fish. There are heavenly bodies and earthly bodies, but the glory of the heavenly is of one kind, and the glory of the earthly is of another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for star differs from star in glory. So it is with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable. What is raised is imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. Would you pray with me? Father, we're thankful for your word. We pray that you would bless it now to our hearts and our understanding. I pray that your spirit would guide me to say what you once said. Lord, help us, Father, to have open hearts and ears to hear, hearts to receive what you have for us today. We want to hear from you. I pray, Lord, speak to your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Our text begins with the question, how are the dead raised and what kind of body do they come? I'm not sure that I hear a whole lot of sermons about this type of thing. But it's truth from the Scripture. We know from Scripture that those who have trusted Christ will go to heaven when they die. We're also taught in Scripture that when we get to heaven, we'll have a new body, much different than we have here, but yet the same. And I'll explain that as we go along this morning. First off, how do we get this new body? Well, Paul explains in verse 36 that you have to die. Well, that's pretty much it, isn't it? We understand that. What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. The biblical view of death is much different than the world's. The worldview sees death as the end. The biblical view sees death as a transformation, a passageway to life. Death is not to be feared for the Christian. It's a forerunner to receiving a wonderful resurrection body. If we did not die, we'd be stuck with the same body that we have now. And as I've grown older, and things don't work like they used to, I'm looking forward even more to that new body. One that don't get old and tired and sick. But in order to be raised with the new one, must die. And the second thing I want to call to our attention is that the resurrection body is a different kind of body. Verse 37 and 38 compares this bodily transformation to that of a seed being planted in the ground. Of course, when you plant, for instance, a kernel of corn into the ground, you hope a tall green stalk comes out of the ground, a different kind of body than what you planted. The human body that dies and is buried is raised a different kind of body. So on the day of resurrection, what comes out of the ground will be totally different than what went into the ground. The question again is then what kind of body will it be? Well, one thing it will be is it will be a body that's indestructible. Verse 42 told us that when what is sown is perishable, what is raised is imperishable. Despite the claims of science, the body we have now gets old and wears out and eventually dies. Medical science has made great strides in helping us to live longer. Statistics say now that the upper tier of the age group is growing more and more and more because of all the medicines and technology that we got to help us live longer. But eventually, it'll get to the point where nothing else can be done. So the body that God gives to us as Christians is indestructible and incorruptible. Never age, wear out, or be subject to disease. Another thing is that the new body will be a body that will be recognizable. In other words, we'll know each other in heaven. Isn't that a great thing? I'm looking forward to seeing those who've gone on in my family before, and I know that they're in heaven because they trusted Jesus as their Savior, one day meeting them again in heaven. There used to be this lady in my first church. Now, when a preacher gets his first church, you know, he's always trying to do everything perfect and so forth and so on, and then until you realize you can't, it's impossible. And it seems like there's always one in the crowd that's got to correct the new young preacher. Well, this lady, she told me that she did not believe that we would recognize each other when we got to heaven. She thought that when we got there, we would just be kind of just like wispy spirits floating in the clouds and so forth. Or maybe she thought that we would have a harp and play a harp on a cloud somewhere, and that's all we'd ever do. Sounds kind of boring to me, doesn't it, you? I want heaven to be more than just sitting on a cloud, and it will be. And despite of what she was thinking, what she was thinking is not biblical. We will know, we will recognize each other when we get to heaven. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20 says, "But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like His glorious body by the power that enables Him even to subject all things to Himself." And so here Paul says that our lowly body will be transformed to be like Jesus' glorious body. So when we get to heaven, the Bible says we will be like Him. Some people think that they're already like Jesus and that they're perfect. We make jokes in the shop where I work, this one guy, and he is a pretty good jeweler. I work in a jewelry shop. He is a pretty good jeweler, but the guys in the shop have kind of tagged him as Little Jesus. They call him Little J. They said, because everything he does is perfect, and everybody always brags on his work and all that kind of stuff. But he's not Jesus, is he? No, there's only one Jesus, and we all know that. And the Bible says one day that this lowly body that we have will be transformed like Jesus' glorious body, and we will be like Him. Isn't that awesome? Awesome. Jesus, for the 40 days between His resurrection and His ascension, you know, He rose from the dead on the third day, and then for 40 days He was on the earth. He was recognizable by others. Jesus was recognizable when He rose from the dead. We will be recognizable when we rise. Now, here's some characteristics of how we know this to be true. First off, Jesus' body was real. When He met with His disciples, you remember after the resurrection, he met them in that upper room, and He invited them to touch Him. To touch Him, to feel that His body was real. I think if you touched a ghost or a spirit, you probably wouldn't feel anything but scared, would you? Luke 24:39, Jesus told his disciples, he said, "Handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones like I do." So he had a real body. Jesus also ate food during that time. Jesus ate after he rose from the dead. In Luke 24, it says he ate fish and some honeycomb. In John chapter 21, it says he ate fish and bread with his disciples on the shores of Galilee. Sounds pretty good to me. You think we'll eat when we're in heaven? You ever ate something and thought it was heavenly? Susie and I ate last night at Longhorn Steakhouse while I was waiting for the rain to quit pouring outside. It was her birthday, so she got this email from them to get a free dessert. Isn't that great? Get you in there, spend $50 or $60 and get a free dessert. But we got to go, don't we? The waiter said, "Pick out anything on the menu." Or Susie, she picks out the most expensive thing on the menu. She said she didn't mean to. She just opened it up and there it was. And you know, they make those pictures look so good, don't they? And so this big apple thing with a big plop of ice cream in the center, two spoons and a big dish, glory to God, right? Man, that was good. I would say it was even heavenly. Will we have stuff like that in heaven? I don't know. I always said that, you know, I'm a big coffee drinker too, you know. So I've always said when I get through the pearly gates, there's going to be a freshly brewed pot of coffee like you've never had before, right there. Well, I don't know if all that. That's just talk. But the thing of it is, if we do eat food, it won't be because we have to. It'll just be because we want to. It's just the pleasure of the thing. But I'm not sure. So don't leave today saying, "That preacher down there at First Baptist Church said that we were going to eat when we got to heaven." I just said it would be nice if we did. Another fact about Jesus' body after the resurrection, Jesus told Thomas to touch him. You remember old Doubting Thomas? Have you ever been called a Doubting Thomas? Just doubt everything. You know people like that. They might even be sitting next to you. I don't know. But Thomas doubted that Jesus had really risen from the dead. In John chapter 20, Jesus invited Thomas to touch him again, but also to feel the scars in his hand and in his side. Now, we're taught that when we get to heaven, we'll be whole again, right? There's no more sickness, no more disease, all this kind of stuff. But I believe Jesus kept his scars. It's evident that he did. I think when we get to heaven, that we'll see the scars in Jesus' hands and his side. And that'll make you so grateful that Jesus went through that for you. See, the disciples, they were well blessed that they got to see it before any of us, right? But one day we'll get to see that. But Jesus had a real body. He invited the disciples to touch him. He invited Thomas to touch him. But he also told Mary not to hold on to him. You remember that resurrection morning? Mary was in the garden. Jesus came up, and she hasn't even recognized him yet. What's troubling you? She says, "Well, they've taken away my Lord," so forth. And then she recognized him, and she wanted to grab hold of him. That's kind of like we'd want to do, right? I want to touch Jesus, don't you? But he said, "Don't cling to me." Now, how could she have clung to him if he was just a spirit form? Not possible. He had to be in a bodily form, right? For her to be able to cling to him. But he told her not to cling. In other words, not to throw her arms around him just yet. So if our bodies are like Jesus' resurrection body, then we'll also have a physical body. We will be able to be recognized, able to eat, and also able to communicate, because Jesus spoke and communicated, didn't he, with those during that 40 days. Well, you remember that time, that Mount of Transfiguration story? They looked up and they saw Moses and Elijah. They'd already been dead for a long time. They saw them. They recognized them. They were in real bodies. Because they looked up and says, there's Moses and Elijah. And the disciples got all excited and said, let's build 3 shelters. One for Jesus, one for Moses, one for Elijah. We'll stay up here on the mountaintop a long time. I like to stay on the mountaintop, don't you? It's a lot more pleasurable to stay on the mountaintop than it is in the valley, right? So those disciples were just like us. We like to be on the mountaintop. That's another sermon, by the way. But the fact is that they recognized these guys. And for example, again in Matthew 8, Jesus said that in the kingdom, many will come from the east and many will come from the west, and they'll sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. How are you going to sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob if you don't recognize who they are? So there's an example again. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Many examples in the Bible that we will have a body like we do now, but different. We'll receive the extreme makeover edition body that doesn't age or get sick. Perfect body. Well, also we find in the text we're looking at today, our resurrection body will be incredible. Verse 44 says it is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there's also a spiritual body. Paul said our bodies are sown in weakness. Death is the ultimate weakness in the human form, right? Can't get much worse than that. But then it says we will be raised in power. The weakness we experience now will be a thing of the past. You ever get tired and working and you just get tired sometimes? You do, don't you? A couple of years ago, Samaritan's Purse was down in New Orleans, and they were rebuilding houses after Hurricane Katrina. Me and my son went down there, and we stayed for a while and helped rebuild a house down in the Ninth Ward. And we both were in pretty good shape, but let me tell you, we went in July, by the way. It's hot. When you start first thing in the morning and you're going wide open all day, about 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon, the body starts getting tired. And so we got tired. You get tired. We all get tired, right? Our bodies can only do so much. But in this life, we just don't have the power that we need to do everything that we would like to do. It's hard for us to imagine what it will be like to live in a body that's unlimited, right? Unlimited, like our current physical body has its limitations. The new body will have no limits. Another thing is that our new bodies will be eternal. Look at verse 44. It says it is sown a natural body. It's raised a spiritual body. If there's a natural body, there's also a spiritual body. Verse 45 says, thus it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. The last Adam, by the way, is Jesus. Verse 46 says, "But it is not the spiritual that is the first, but the natural, then the spiritual. The first man was from earth, a man of dust. The second man is from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are of the dust. And as is the man of heaven, so also are those who are of heaven. Just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the man of heaven." So here, there's a distinction made between the natural body and a spiritual one. Adam, y'all remember Adam and Eve, don't you? Adam in the garden, the first man, is the picture of the natural body that we have here, the man of dust. You're just made of dust, right? You're all just dirt. That encourages you this morning, doesn't it? You're all just dirt. Well, we are. That's what it says. We're made of the dust of the ground. Right now we have a natural body like Adam. Jesus is the picture of the spiritual body that we will have, the second Adam, the second Adam. What is a spiritual body? Well, it is not an immaterial body. It's not a ghost. It's not a spirit. We're not going to be wisping through heaven like a cloud. It's a permanent body. Jesus had a physical body. So will we. It's a body that could be touched and felt, except the spiritual body would not have the same needs as the natural body. Not going to have the cravings that we do now. Some of the cravings that we have are not healthy, are they? Won't have the cravings that we have, the pain with this spiritual body. We won't have any of those kind of things. Instead, our spiritual bodies will be controlled by the Spirit of God. I wish He would control more of us now, don't you? God to control me. I want God to guide me. Sometimes I go out on my own and He just kind of lets me go out on my own to do whatever I want to do sometimes, and I always get in trouble, right? It's trouble when you're not guided by God's Spirit. I want to be guided all the time by God's Spirit. Spiritual body, or the basic difference here between the natural body and the spiritual, is that the natural body is made to live on earth. We're breathing air. We'll eat later. Not now. And all of those things. The spiritual body is at home in heaven. It's made for heaven. That's why that God has to transform us in some way, and it's a mystery, into this spiritual body before we can be fit to live in heaven. Our current bodies are completely unsuited for heaven. That's why God has to change us. The new body will be completely controlled by the Spirit. No more struggling with the desires of the flesh. No more struggling and thinking about things that you shouldn't be thinking about, right? Or doing sinful things that we shouldn't do, or saying stupid things, hurting somebody's feelings, all those kinds of things. It won't be the same. Will have a transformed self. The new spiritual body given to those whose Lord and Savior is Jesus will be an eternity of paradise, enjoyment, delight, bliss, happiness, pleasure, completely free of hurts, disappointments, sickness, and disease, and anything that's not pleasurable. Anything that is broken now will be fixed then, right? Isn't that good news? Anything that's busted now is going to be fixed later. Verse 51 says, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, For the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. See, I'm not up here making this up this morning. It's in the Bible. It's Scripture. It's the truth. The idea that our body, though, that will be changed from a natural earthly body to a spiritual body, that's kind of hard for us to get a hold of, is it not? Kind of hard to imagine that. I guess that's why he said it was a mystery. It's hard to grasp. But he says it's something that will happen in the twinkling of an eye, in the blink of an eye. By the time you can blink your eye, it's happened. Wow, that's quick, isn't it? It'll happen when Jesus returns. The Scripture says that not all will sleep when Jesus returns. Some will be alive. Many more will already have passed. But all will be changed. I hope that I'm here when Jesus comes back. Don't you? And you wouldn't have to die. He'd just come get us. He'd just come get us, Jesus. Some days I want to holler that out, don't you? Come on, get us, Jesus. Tired of all this killing? Tired of all these stupid politics? Stupid politicians? Ignorant stuff that's going on? Sometimes I'm just ready, Jesus, come on back. Get us. Straighten this mess out. He can do that, can he? Jesus is going to return. Find that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I think the world is quickly being set up for Jesus to come back. This is serious business, isn't it? Serious. Are you ready for the quick and sudden return of Christ? We may want to hang around a lot longer. We want to do this and we want to do that. The thing of it is, Jesus is coming back and nobody's going to expect him to be coming back when he comes back. So what you and I have to do to be prepared, we just have to give our hearts and our lives to Jesus. And we do that now. And for the fact of the matter, if you die today and you don't know Jesus, you're not going to go to heaven anyway. I don't care how good you are. You're not going to go. Only those who trust Jesus as Savior will go. Y'all know who Johnny Erickson Tada is? I got this quote here that Dr. David Jeremiah shared in some of his books that I was looking at this week. Johnny Erickson Tada is one of many saints, he says, who have experienced physical disabilities and limitations in this life. And she has written beautifully about her hope and God's promise for a new body. Now, she's in a wheelchair and can't feel anything from the shoulders down. The only thing she can move is her head. She said, "I still can hardly believe it. I, with shriveled, bent fingers, atrophied muscles, gnarled knees, and no feeling from the shoulders down, will one day have a new body, light, bright, and clothed in righteousness, powerful and dazzling. Can you imagine the hope this gives someone with a spinal cord injury like me? Or someone who has cerebral palsy, or is brain injured, or has multiple sclerosis. Imagine the hope, she says, this gives someone who is manic depressive." We got a lot of messed up folks in the world, don't we? She said, "No other religion, no other philosophy promises new bodies, new hearts, new minds. Only the gospel of Christ do hurting people, through the gospel of Christ, do hurting people find such incredible hope." You have hope in your life today. You have hope. I tell you, if you don't, you know where the hope's at? Jesus. That's the hope. That's the hope. The reality of a new body, as we've been talking about, and the expectation of glory that heaven represents. Since we have never lived in perfect, limitless spiritual bodies, it's, like I said, it's hard to imagine that. The surest way to find out is to experience that change yourself, being one of those that Christ calls to Himself, and you accept Him as Savior. That's how you know. That's how you're getting ready. You give your heart and life to Jesus. Make sure that you've entrusted yourself to Him by faith, that you enter eternity with your ultimate extreme makeover edition. Isn't that be glorious? So I want to invite you today to trust Jesus as your Savior. And do it today. Doesn't matter what anybody else thinks, adults. We're always like, well, what was old so-and-so think about it? If I get up and go down there and trust Jesus. You better quit thinking about what so-and-so thinks, because it's between you and Jesus, right? So do that today. Trust Jesus as your Savior. He's done all the work. He's just reaching out to you. You've never made a decision for Christ to do that today. We're going to have an invitation right now. We're all going to stand. Everybody stand. And as we pray, there no one's looking around, you want to trust Jesus, come on down and meet me right here this morning. Okay? Let's pray. Father, I do commit this time to you. I pray, Father, that if there's someone here that needs to trust Jesus as Savior, that this morning, that they will do just that. Father, tear down the barriers. Tear down the strongholds that would prevent us from doing the right thing and come to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, this morning, first off, got Joseph and Joey. You guys come on up here. Joseph's been talking to his mama sometime about trusting Jesus as Savior. And so we had a good conversation this morning. And so Joseph comes this morning. Professing his faith in Christ. Amen. Amen. And we'll baptize in the next week or two, let you know about that. And also his dad, Joey, comes today to move his membership here. What church was that, brother? I can't pronounce that. Some church over in Kosciuszko. Baptist Church in Kosciuszko. I'll mess that all up if I try to. but you got it. So Joey comes, move his membership. And then also we've got John Hudson. You guys come on over here. John also comes today professing faith in Christ. We're going to talk some more with John. But he comes also trusting Jesus as Savior. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? Good. All right. You want to do anything or say anything? No, you're good. Most people don't like to talk up here. We're good. I hear you. I used to say the same thing. All right. If you rejoice with me in receiving these guys for baptism and church membership, would you just stand and say amen?
Amen.
Okay. All right.